So this week in the mail, and it always happens this time of year, I got a dry erase wall calendar for 2021. I like to plan ahead, and that's hard to do in this season, but when I got the box, I had the weirdest thoughts going through my head. Maybe you can relate. I was like, should I open it? like I want to get through this year. Can we just fast forward to this? Or is this next year going to be even tougher than this? Like, I had all kinds of weird thoughts, and I didn't even open it. Like, it's still closed, because I was just like, this is really weird what's going on right now. Like, I want to go back to how it was. I kind of want to restart, or I want to fast forward to go to what's next. And I don't know if you can relate to feeling that way during this season. It's been kind of a weird season. So in this series, we're concluding next week called Back to Normal. It's been a question we've asked. When are we getting back to normal? What will we get back to more normal? What will a new normal be? And one of the things you need to know just about human nature, about how we kind of react to things, we have this dangerous tendency and a desire to go backwards. Even though all of history has moved forward with innovation and achievements and progress, there's something in us that has this tendency to go back because we fear the unknown. And we go back to what's familiar, and we go back to what's safe, and we go back to what we can control. This week, what I want to talk about is how do we move forward to not the new normal of what happens around us, but what God does in us and through us. Because God is always about this new normal. He's always moving things forward. And the way I feel, though, right now is I really wish I could just kind of find a quick solution, like a tech solution. Like my computer one time, I have a Mac, and so this thing showed up on my screen, and someone I know calls it the spinning pinwheel of death. Like it's just like it's frozen. Like that's how life has felt for me the last couple of months. I feel like life's just kind of doing that, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And the tech solution, this is the only IT help I can give, but 9 times out of 10 it works. What do you do if the computer or the DVR or something's not working? What do you do? Restart it. Now, on a Mac, it's different, but on a PC, you do this. Control, Alt, Delete. And if that's not right, don't tell me because it'll mess up the rest of the message. Control, Alt, Delete. And I want to talk about those three words, how they could be very important words for you to restart, to reset, to reboot, possibly into a new normal that God wants for you so desperately. Let's take this first word, control. Life feels very out of control. It feels like a lot of decisions sometimes are out of our hands. It feels like a lot of decisions aren't that confident because we don't really know. I feel like the Texas Tech football schedule was gonna show up written in pencil. Like, I just feel like everything feels uncertain. And when we lack control, when things feel out of control, it's disorienting. And if you feel disoriented, the good news is that's the perfect time for God to reorient you, to point you in a new direction. I've been very honest. I've struggled with anxiety my whole life. And one thing that I was taught was always to make a list. And actually, I've heard Henry Cloud talk about this a lot during this pandemic, that a helpful thing to do is if you start feeling anxious, like things are out of control, to make 2 lists. These are the things I can control. These are the things I can't control. It's helpful. It helps your brain recognize, yeah, we're out of control in these areas and it makes me nervous, but hey, there's some things I can control. It does something internally for us. However, for myself, I kind of caught myself as I was doing that exercise and trying to do it prayerfully. I noticed that as I was making the things, these are things I can control, these are the things I can't control, I felt like God kind of nudged me and said, you're putting too many things on the things you can control list. How many of you would be honest enough to admit that you're a control freak? A lot of hands, that's good. I knew that about some of you. Just kidding. There's something in us that a lot of us, we like control. Really, all of us do. We like it in life. We like it in certain areas of life. We're kind of asking this question, when will we get back to normal and in control again? What if we need to be in situations where we're out of control to let God lead us to a new normal? I think one of the COVID lessons for us is that we are not as in control as we thought we were. There was a study back in the 70s at UCLA by a lady named Ellen Langer that did this study about the illusion of control. Illusion of control over our outcomes. And they gave several examples. One was they watched people. They said, when do you feel most control when you're driving or riding in a car? When you're driving or when you're a passenger? And people said, when you're driving. And she would say, it's the illusion of control. Yeah, you have more control, but there's still a lot of factors that are out of your control. She said, when people would play the lottery, they felt their chances were better when they picked the number versus when numbers were randomly assigned because they had control. People playing board games. I gotta have a six to buy that property on Monopoly. Roll the dice. The more you felt like you needed the number, the harder you threw the dice. She said, there's this thing in us where it's the illusion of control. And the COVID reveal for us is we're not as in control as we thought we were. What if that's a good thing? We could discover kind of how James, the brother of Jesus, wrote about that. He said this as you're planning your life. Now listen, those who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Or you could say today or tomorrow or this next month we will play football, go to school, have services, whatever it is. Like you could fill anything in there. He said, why do you do that? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. That's always true. That's not just a COVID thing. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. He says, this is how we should do it. Instead, we ought to say, if it is the Lord's will. If it is the Lord's will. I'll be honest, a lot of times when I'm seeking God's will, I'm really submitting my will for approval. Hey, God, is this your will? Because this is what I want. And I don't start with a blank page saying, God, I don't know what today or tomorrow is going to bring. What are the things you want me to be about today? It's this idea of control, of really surrender of control. And seeking God's will really requires a commitment to see what we see in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But a lot of times I approach God with this control saying, God, thy will be done, but I'd really love it if it looked a lot like mine. Because I like control. I mean, the question is, would you rather have God's will for your life or your will for your life? And since you're in here, you'd probably say, well, of course I want God's will for your life. But for many of us, when we get out of this room and we're living, what I really want is my will be done as long as God says it's okay. And that's not a bad thing. But what if we started by saying, God, you're in control. I'm not. I'm going to surrender my plans to you and start with you as I seek your plans. Full surrender is the new normal in Christ. Giving up control is the new normal in Christ. But everything around us, our culture, and everything inside of us in terms of our flesh leads us to want to have control of our lives. It doesn't mean being passive or giving up. It doesn't mean that. There's a difference between giving up and giving up. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference between saying, I'll give up. Let's just see how it goes. I'll just be a pinball in God's cosmic thing he's doing in the world. Bounce around and see what happens. Or living a life that's fully surrendered and saying, God, I'm giving up and submitting control to you in this world that is out of control. And in a world that is out of control, who better to guide our plans than the God who is in control? Here's how it starts. Matthew 16, 25, it says this. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. That's what Jesus tells us. In a word, what he's saying is, you know how you win in life? It's one word, surrender. You surrender control. It's the scariest thing for us to do. And surrender starts as a one-time event. God, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you control. But it really becomes a daily choice and a moment-by-moment choice of saying, God, I'm giving control to you. Let me ask you a question. In your life right now, what are you trying to control that you need to surrender? What are the things in your life that when it gets touched, when it gets bumped, when it gets blocked, you find yourself trying to grab hold tighter? That could be a key that that's an area in life where you need to, instead of control, you need to surrender. What are you trying to control that you need to surrender? And as you do that, and Corona reminds us that we're not as controlled as we thought we are, but it shows us that we need to reboot and reset and let God be in control. That's the new normal in Christ. And here's the great thing about this. When you identify what that is, here's the statement I want you to think about. God can do more with your surrender than you can do with your control. That thing in your life that you're trying to hold on to, that you're not sure you could fully surrender it. God can do more with your surrender than you can do with your control. But it's scary. And the key is you don't always have the power to control. We've learned that. But you always have the power to surrender. There's never a time in your life where you don't have the power to surrender to Jesus. But I'll warn you, it's a fight for control. But you are the deciding factor of who wins the battle. And in that battle, unlike other areas of life, you win when you surrender, when you surrender control. So if you want to reboot, you want to restart, again, what were the words? Control, Alt, Delete. What are you trying to control that you need to surrender? Now let's talk about the alt, the alternate. A key to giving up control to surrender is to really be open to the alt. Well, if I give up control, what does that mean? What does that mean for my plans, my path, my relationship? Whatever it is, when I give up control, what about the alt, the alternate? What if there is an alternate normal that God has for you, a new normal that you haven't fully yet embraced? What if there's something better going on than where we were or even where we're heading? What if God is doing something new that's better than normal? Because what I know in this season, and we've said it in the series, if God is up to something and he's always up to something, then we don't want to miss it. We want to be part of it. Our series verse has been from Isaiah 43 that God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. God doesn't go backwards. He goes forward. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? You could miss it. And he says, this is true for wherever you are right now, wherever you feel like you're in the weeds, in the fog, wherever it is, or where you feel like you're in control. I am making a way in the wilderness. He's providing a path and streams in the wasteland. Where you feel most empty and drained right now, God says, I want to replenish streams in the wasteland. The key is to don't miss it. Joseph experienced that. The thing in the Bible, there's lots of Josephs, and you have to have a program to remember who's who. And so Joseph, like the one we hear early on in the Bible in Genesis, he had a kind of rough situation with his brothers. My son and daughter were kind of not getting along this weekend. And as I started reading about Joseph, I thought, well, it could have been worse, you know? Because one day, Joseph's one of the younger brothers and the older brothers decide, hey, we're not getting along with our younger brother. Should we kill him or sell him? They decided to sell him, the compassionate thing. Let's let him live and sell him into slavery. And he's taken off to a foreign country. And he gets a pretty good gig as a slave, but he's still a slave. Then he's falsely accused, something he didn't do, and thrown in prison for a long time, like a decade, like a long time. And as he's there in the pit being sold into slavery, being a slave, now being in prison, I bet he had to think, if I could just go back, or if I could just have a different path, life would be better. And it would in some respects. But what happens is as he's in prison, he gains some notoriety for some skills he has. And then he's drawn in with Pharaoh, the main guy, and he's helping him make plans. And he says, you know, there's a plague coming and we need to prepare. And they prepare. And actually there, Joseph being put at the right hand of the guy in charge, and he makes him helps him make some decisions that is able to provide for his country so they're not starving. And then they provide for other countries, including for his brothers who come begging for food. And if it were me, it'd be the revenge factor saying, ha-ha, it's me. Joseph, remember? Head home, hit the bricks. Or why don't you get in a pit? Or why don't you get in prison? But instead, he shows compassion and grace because he recognized as his brothers were doing some really bad stuff, they don't have the power to hold back what God's purpose is. And Joseph has this moment of clarity when I would have had just revenge on my mind. And he tells this to his brothers. He says, and before this, he said, God sent me here. You didn't send me here. God sent me here. You intended to harm me, but God intended or purposed it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. I don't know if Joseph ever dreamed along the way that at some point God was putting him step by step into position, including the experiences he would have along the way, to be someone who became a lifesaver for nations, plural. God is a God of purpose. What you meant for harm, God meant for good for many people. That's how God works. He takes even our pain in our lives and he turns it into purpose that impacts us and others. Or as Romans 8:28 says, God works all things for the good. And if God is in it, it can't be stopped. Early on in the life of the church, there was heavy persecution, heavy imprisonment and property confiscation, torture, executions. And John, one of the disciples, the one who lived the longest, has this experience where God is wanting to write some letters through him to seven different churches who are facing this. And to one of the churches who, even though life was really, really hard, they were very, very faithful. And through John in Revelation 3:8, it says this. He tells them, I know your deeds. Now, for sometimes that could be a scary thought. He sees everything we do. But that's the good news. We're never off his radar, and we have a God of grace who wants to bring us into him. But that's what's good news. I know your deeds. He says, see, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. If God is doing something, and he's always doing something, if he opens the door, if he makes the path, no one can shut it. And he was telling them that. He's telling us too. He says this, tell me this, this describes you. I know you have little strength. That describes where some of us are. He says, you didn't have a lot of strength, but here's what you had. You had perseverance, a persevering faith. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. God is doing something. He's always doing something. He's always up to something. And he said, I open a door for you that no one can shut. God is not held back. So what I want you to think about is what are the alternate plans, the alternate paths God may have opened some doors for you in this season? Maybe with a job, maybe without a job, maybe relationally. Maybe in this season he pushed pause and wanted you just to rest and connect with your family. Maybe he wanted to teach you dependence on him. Maybe he's trying to draw you into yourself. I don't know what God is doing in your life. But what alternate doors has God opened for you, or alternate paths has he laid out for you? Whatever it is, no one can close it, but you've got to walk through it. What alternate lessons or truths has God been trying to teach you in this season? Learn them. Learn from them. Don't waste them. Because God is always about the alt, the new normal. And when we talk about control and alt and delete, control, what are you trying to control that you need to let go of? God can do more with your surrender than you can do with your control. But to give up control, you have to really trust the alt. It's scary, right? Which means trusting the Lord of the alt, the Lord of the new, the Lord of new beginnings, which leads us to this bold next step, control, alt, and then delete. In your life, what needs to go? What needs to be deleted? And more importantly, who decides that? And I would challenge you to let God lead you in that choice of what matters and what doesn't. From a very early age, we see it in kids, and we never really fully grow out of it. I got this. Can I help you tie your shoes? I got this. Can I help you get that milk that you're trying to pour in the glass, but really you're pouring all over the counter? I got this. Hey, can I help you with directions and give you some driving tips with a new driver? I got this. Hey, can I give you some lessons and some things I learned when I went to college? I got this. You went to college when it was black and white. Come on. I got this. There's something about us, and it goes back to control, where we like to say, I've got this. Where's an area in your life right now where you tend to say that? Jesus asked a young man one time to delete something, and he had the best of intentions. He came up and he said, God, or Jesus, I've been doing everything I can to please God and honor God. I'm trying to keep all the commands. I'm doing a great job. And Jesus sees him and he knows that really there's something that needs to be deleted. And he was a rich and influential young guy. And he said, go and sell all you have. And he told him that because he knew that was the thing that was really had a hold on him. And that's the thing about finances is the more you hold on to money, the more it holds on to you. That's true of anything that you value. And Jesus looked, it says that in Mark 10:21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And he said this, one thing you lack, be aware of the one thing that could get in the way of you being fully surrendered to Jesus. So he says to him, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me, let me lead. You need to delete that. Otherwise you're gonna follow everything, the stuff you have versus the God that gave it to you. One thing you lack was about deleting the one thing that got in the way of this rich young ruler being fully devoted to Jesus. What do you think is the one thing you lack? The one thing that you hold on to that gets in the way of you being fully surrendered to Jesus? Relying on yourself is cheating yourself because you need Jesus. We were designed to be submitted and surrendered to him and focus on him as the one thing that matters. So delete anything that gets in the way of you and Jesus. And by the way, he'll have better perspective on that than you will because you have blind spots just like he did. So prayerfully ask Jesus, God, what is the one thing that right now I'm trying to control that I need to surrender? What would it look like for you to fully rely on God in your marriage, in parenting, in school, in work, with your money, with your free time, with anything? Like, what would it look like to be fully surrendered and dependent and relying on him? And I know for me, one of the things it looks like is I've got to spend a lot of time regularly reading the Bible and praying and saying, God, what is it from what I just read do you want me to know and do you want me to do? And what I've noticed in my life that when I fail to read the Bible, when I fail to pray, it's a way of me saying to God, I've got this. I've got this. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, he said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. The DHV, the Doug Holcomb version, says delete themselves, die to self, and take up their cross and follow me. What's interesting is Jesus is saying that before any of those guys knew he was going to be crucified on a cross. But they knew what a cross was. It was an instrument of death. So it's so interesting that Jesus would say that. But he says, deny yourself. Surrender yourself. Delete your will to fully embrace his. Jesus modeled for them when he was praying in the garden before the cross, where he has that famous prayer that's so challenging for us to pray, yet not as I will, but as you will. God, I'll delete, I'll give up control, I'll be open to the alt, because right now, I love that God lets us see that Jesus struggled with this, that he had a physical and emotional reaction to the strain of this decision. But he said, if this is what you want, it's what I'll do. What a tough decision. As you think about what your plans are, what your desires are, think about this. Elizabeth Elliot says this, to pray, thy will be done, your will be done. I must be willing, if the answer requires it, that my will be undone. I think in this season, for some of us, for many of us, God's been trying to undo some things. He's been trying to say, would you give up control? Would you be open to the alternate? Would you delete some things that are getting in the way? Would you be willing to let your will be undone so that God's will could be done? For me, I struggle with that. Like, I like control and I like planning. I'm a planner. Like, if I could have my 2022 calendar on my wall, I would have that. But I can't find anyone that goes that far ahead. But I like dry erase calendars on the wall and planning, and I like that. But one thing that God's taught me through this season is that it's difficult to grab onto God's plans for me when I'm holding tightly onto mine. And I think you could say the same thing about our lives, that it's difficult to grab hold of the life that God has for me when I'm holding tightly onto mine. So Jesus would say, deny yourself. Take up the cross and die to yourself. And that's when life truly begins. So what I would challenge you to think about in your life is the control, the alt, and the delete. And that doing those three things could really restart, reboot, reset life for you in the life that God intends for you. The COVID reveals I'm not in control. But the truth that God teaches is that we belong to the one who is. So as you think on your life, prayerfully, I ask you just kind of think, listen with God kind of guiding you in this. Where are you trying to control, but you need to surrender? And I would just remind you that God can do more with your surrender than you can do with your control. And then are you open to the alt, God's new normal for you, to let God be the Lord of the alt and lead you into a new normal? And then are you willing to do the courageous but terrifying thing to delete anything that keeps you from being fully surrendered to Jesus, to having him be your number one focus? What needs to be deleted? Next week, we're going to conclude the Back to Normal series, and we're going to talk about more about the new normal that Jesus is always doing and trying to bring about in our life. Next week, you can RSVP for the 9:30 or 11 a.m. Please do that. It helps us plan. You guys did a great job on that. Again, there'll be masks for both services when you come in, when you go out, and during the singing. We'll also be online at 9:30 a.m. and 8:30 p.m. for Live Oak After Dark. I encourage you to share that with others, to invite others to be part of that. We've had some very interesting people tune in and be part of our services. And if you think that today's message will be valuable to somebody, share it with them or just share it on social media. But please RSVP for next week, and also make sure you RSVP for the babies. As I said, babies are known for one thing. They're terrible about RSVPing. They just don't do it. And so you need to do that for them for either 9:30 or 11 a.m. Next weekend is Labor Day weekend, so it's the same play as this week. But our plan is, it's in pencil, but our plan is, depending on how things go with schools opening back up and how things go with volunteers signing up, our hope is that next week, not this week, the next week, but the week after that, the week after Labor Day, that Treehouse Club might be reopening. And that's our prayer. That's our plan. Again, we're watching what's happening with schools. We're also watching what's happening with volunteers signing up. Let's pray together. God, thanks that you love us. I am not as in control as I thought I was, but thanks that I belong to the one who is. It feels maybe that life is out of even at your control at times. But God, thanks that you use all of this in a fallen and broken world to, one, reveal our need for you, reveal our need to surrender control, and to remind us that we're not in control. God, thanks that you point us to alternate paths and alternate new plans you have for us, that you're always doing something new. And God, for many of us, there's things that we need to delete, but we hold on to them tightly. God, I pray that we would surrender control, be open to the alt, and delete as you lead. Thanks that we can trust you, not just where you're leading us, but we can trust your character and your faithfulness to be one who leads us well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.